All right. Amen. God is good. So we're going to wrap up these thoughts today about God's Word being our authority. And we're going to see that God's Word, and one of the big, big functions that it has in our life is that it is a covenant document, a covenant document between God and His people, all right? And so it contains other types of literature, but this is a really, really important part about the Bible and about Scripture that we're going to look into. But just to review a couple things from the last few weeks, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, all of it, is breathed out by God and profitable. That makes sense. If it's breathed out by God, it's got to be profitable, right? It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All right? The deceiver, the serpent, the snake in the garden, and the devil still today is the one who tries to undermine God's Word, undermine the authority of Scripture. And it's one of the biggest things that he does. And sadly, so sadly, once he does that in a believer's life, once he does it in a church and a denomination, it's over. It's a death sentence. Because once the Bible is less than Word of God, then he's got you. There's really no more that he has to do. Genesis 3:1, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say, do not eat of the fruit?" And so the serpent, the devil, is still trying to ask Christians this same question. Did God really say? Did God really say Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life? How many of you know the Bible shows that the devil knows Scripture? Maybe more than we do. All right? But he twists it and he deceives. All right? 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this is the inspiration, the divine inspiration of the Bible, that it comes from heaven, not from the mind or a committee of people. So if it's from God, it's breathed out by God, then that means God's Word has authority over you. It has authority over anyone that has an opinion. All right? It has authority over every government that has ever been or ever will be. The Word of God is over us. All right? And so we must recognize that it is that. It has that place. Last week we saw that the Bible calls itself the Word of Truth. So that means it's accurate. It's reliable. It is trustworthy. We can trust what God said, and so we can know that He has said this to us. All right? Jesus had a high, high, high regard for what we refer to as the Old Testament. In his day, it was the Scriptures, the Hebrew Bible. He believed that it was authoritative. He believed it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he said that in multiple different ways. All right. We said this about inerrancy, if you've got that slide, guys. Full inerrancy. What does that mean? It means the Bible is holy or completely true regarding everything that it teaches. Okay, so it doesn't teach algebra, right? All right, so we don't say that it is authoritative about algebra. Okay, but it talks about salvation and sin and relationship and marriage, right? All these different things. So it is completely true, and it may be trusted implicitly. Amen? All right, so folks, just so you know, that is one of the reasons, this statement right here is one of the reasons why we're called evangelicals. All right, so we, among evangelicals, there are different, you know, different families and different kind of subgroups, you could say. But an evangelical believes that the Bible is Word of God. and it can be trusted, and it is accurate. Amen? All right. And so, sadly, once you step out of sight of that, then it's just fair game for all the deception that the enemy might try to throw. We closed here last week. Revelation 21:5. He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and they are faithful." That the song that we sang, or Mega sang, that was all from the book of Revelation. And it was exactly, so God showed this to John, but before he was done, he said, "Write this down. This isn't just for you, John. This isn't just so you can have this real cool vision, but write this down." Why? Because these words are faithful and they are true. Amen? So, God's word in the old covenant and what we have, the new covenant, the way that we relate to God, our expectations of Him, comes from this covenant document. All right? It is so much more than a contract. All right? But that would be a really crude illustration. But when my wife and I first got married, we rented this little place, this duplex. And our landlord actually lived right next door, so we couldn't really be noisy or anything, or have wild parties, because she was right next door. She was old-time Pentecostal lady with her head up in a bun and everything. Sweet, sweet lady. And so, but we had a contract. And so we knew what was expected from her, and we knew what we had to do towards her. All right? $400 a month, right? $400. And so, lovely place. Newlyweds. Hallelujah. And so, we did not have expectations of her outside of the document. All right? And if she came to us and, you know, after 6 months and say, "Well, why didn't you paint the house?" Well, because it's not in the document. We don't think that you had any expectations of that because you didn't make that clear when we signed. All right. So in human levels, it's really helpful to have these documents that say what's going to happen to each party. All right. But what God did in the old and the new covenant is He wrote it down. He wrote down so that we could understand what to expect from God. We could also understand very clearly, what does God expect from us? All right? It's in the covenant document. All right, so the Bible contains other information. All right? So we see stories, narratives of people's lives, of them interacting with each other, some good, some bad. It all helps us to understand God and His ways. We see there's poetry, there is wisdom literature, there's all different kinds of things that are in the Bible. But within the Bible, some of the key passages we need to know so wonderfully is, what's God expecting of me? All right, what is the covenant that God has made with mankind? All right, because here's the sad thing. Is that when you don't understand your covenant and you don't understand your covenant document, here's what I've discovered, is people just make up stuff on their own. All right? And there is a way that God relates to people. Okay? And He wrote it down. And it's really clear. It's actually not that complicated. All right? But again, if we don't understand it, if we're not conversant with it, then we do funny things. There was a lady who, still a beautiful Christian person and has a heart for ministry, and God bless her, you know, she's doing some good things. But she came up to me one time and she said, not at this church, but she said, "Pastor, oh, I tell you, revival's coming to Zambia." Well, hallelujah, I believe that. Amen. And she said, "Well, here's why. Over the long break, we drove up to northwest part of Zambia, all the way pass away. See, all the way to Zambezi, the source of the Zambezi River. Oh, cool. What'd you do there? Well, here's what we did. We got special anointed oil and wine, and we poured it into the source of the Zambezi River. I'm thinking, okay, I'm waiting for the punchline. And she said, now there's going to be revival. I mean, that's a long way to drive. That's a lot of petrol. That's a lot. And this person loves Jesus a lot. But sadly, there's nothing in the covenant document that says, if you want revival in a nation, do that. Nothing. Like, it's just not there. Now, here's the thing. In the book of Acts, the epistles, there is lots of instruction about revival. Lots. It's around the Word of God. It's about miracles. It's about sending missionaries like Pastor William and his wife and his team. All right. There is a way. All right. The Word of God spread. Churches grew. Okay. So we've got lots of, there's not a lack of information. But if you're not aware of how to get revival, then you drive 3 days and use oil that you could have made a wonderful salad with. Okay. Amen. She's Pentecostal, so I don't know where she got the wine in the first place. So, you know. Tell your neighbor, I know that's right. Okay. All right. So, God speaks, people write it down, and then we understand how we're going to relate to God. All right. Now, we could talk about this at great length, but in the Bible, there are two major ways in which God related to people. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. All right, now, let me just say this about a covenant. A covenant, all right, and this is a God-people covenant, God-human covenant. It's a solemn, blood-ratified agreement that God makes between people and himself. Okay, so there's always the shedding of blood. There's a sacrifice that ratifies the covenant, all right? And in the covenant are terms. You do this, I do this. You do this, here are going to be the consequences. You don't do this, here are going to be the consequences. All right, so that's a really kind of simplified way. All right, and the other thing about covenants in the Bible that it's so important to know is that only God makes covenants. People either accept them or reject them. Covenants, Bible covenants, covenants between God and man, and again, there's the old one that was old, all right, and there's the new one, and that's the one we live in. All right. We do not in any way, in any form, change or manage that covenant or alter it. Do you understand? I was watching a guy yesterday, a church that we know in the States, and there was a guest speaker. So I thought, oh, let me check this guy out. He had some good things to say. And he said, there's only two nations in the world that God has covenants with. I thought, oh, I know one. I'm curious to know which is the second one. And he said, Israel. Like, yeah, duh. All right. And he said, and America. No. He said, because this guy landed on America and he dedicated this land to God for missionaries. Well, that's nice. I'm glad he did that. All right. But you can read the Bible yourself in the New Testament. Does God have covenants with individual nations in the New Testament? No, no, no. Sorry to burst your bubble. All right. He has covenants with people, human beings. All right. So you can plant a flag and you can pour water and a wine or whatever. And God's just kind of saying to Jesus, what are they doing? What? I wrote it in a book. Jesus, we need it. We need it like they need to read Ephesians and Romans. And it's so clear, right? Okay, so a covenant is this agreement that God makes. Now, let's go see the old one, just real briefly, because it's so wonderfully clear, all right, how this works. All right, so God says, all right, you're my people, and here's how it's going to work. Now, you remember in before God gave the law through Moses, all right, Ten Commandments, the Levitical Code, all the Torah, this big, huge thing, 613 commandments. Before that, with Abraham, he said, Abraham, you and your family, I'm chosen you. You're going to serve me. I'm going to bless the whole world. And then they get to, I think, Genesis 17, and God says, all right, here's the sign of the covenant, circumcision of the males. How many of you know he didn't ask Abraham, hey, you and your uncles, you know, go have a committee. Give me some feedback. Tell me how you're feeling about the whole circumcision thing. I'm God. I like to hear feedback about some of my proposals. I don't want to impose anything that seems too crude or, you know. No. He said, this is the sign. Do it. And so Abraham said, all right, guys, sharpen the knives. We're having a men's retreat. Yeah, it's called for real brave men. Men's conference, yeah, for real brave, yeah. All right. So God says, here's how it's going to be. And that sign of the covenant made it into the Mosaic law. All right. So then people of God come out of Israel. God meets with Moses at Sinai multiple times. All right, look at Exodus 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. Everybody say all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Wrote down. Everybody say, wrote down. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. 12 pillars according to 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 5. He sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. All right, so dead animals and blood. That's what just happened. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Okay, so where worship was taking place. And he, verse 7, listen to this. And he took the book of the covenant. All right. So the covenant is between God and people. God and his people. It's a holy thing. I mean, man, when it was initiated with Abraham, God, he came down in his presence in fire and he walked between the pieces of those animals. I mean, it's a big deal. All right. But the covenant, and then it becomes written down and it becomes the book of the covenant. And read it aloud to the people, all right? In the hearing of the people, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Spoiler alert, they didn't. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, according with all of these words. All right, so the old covenant, there was blood of the covenant and there was the book of the covenant. Blood of the covenant, book of the covenant. Two different things and two incredibly vital things. All right, so the blood of the old covenant was the blood of bulls and goats, all the series of sacrifices that would take place, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, awesome, awesome chapter, the scapegoat, all those different things. All right, but then the book of the covenant becomes what the people realize, okay, we have to do this. All right, Deuteronomy 28, that's maybe something that people are familiar with. If you do listen to the Lord and you do all of these, there's blessings. If you don't do these, any of them, just one of the 613, you could get 612 over 613 right. you've got the botch of Egypt. It's part of the curses. Okay, so obedience was how the old covenant, you could say, was established by God. But that's how you were either in the covenant or you were out of the covenant. So a lot of the prophets, okay, as we get into Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Malachi, a lot of the prophets are basically, these guys were God's referees blowing the whistle on Israel. Yellow card. Judah, you've forgotten justice and mercy. You're mistreating widows, strangers. Ah, you don't even tithe anymore. Right? All right. Isaiah, Jeremiah, that's when Israel, they didn't get a yellow card. They got a red card. Red card, 70 years in Babylon. Yeah. Okay, and so God would use these prophets, but they would never just kind of say, God's really upset. They would use the book of the covenant to show that they were guilty. All right? Malachi has this really cool dialogue of Malachi is kind of anticipating what they would say. Well, where have we fallen short? Well, I'll tell you where you've fallen short. And he's answering the question. And then he begins to prosecute them based on what? Based on what? The book of the covenant. The book of the covenant. All right, so the blood of the covenant and the book of the covenant. All right, so here's a good way of kind of thinking about this. The Old Testament, so all those chapters, the Old Testament, in it contains the Old Covenant. All right, it contains the book of the covenant. It has other literature, and it's incredibly helpful for us to understand everything that's there. Okay, but in it is this way that God has established with he and his people to operate. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Now, one of the great purposes of the Old Covenant and the Old Testament, the story of Israel and Judah, the people of God, is as you're reading through it, you realize this is not working. This is not that the people aren't changing. It's like Taken part 6. How many of you have seen the first one? You've seen all of them, right? Rocky part 5. We went up to Rambo now. Rambo 7? I mean, Rambo 10, he's going to be in a wheelchair, you know, battling the bad guys. But you know exactly. You know exactly what's going to happen. And so sadly, as you read the Old Testament, it's like, oh, we've got another bad king. Oh my gosh, he's like his dad. Oh man, what kind of idols are you serving? Oh, all right, here it comes. All right, and it's just this cycle. All right. And so in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, by the Spirit of God, God came upon him and said, there's coming a day where God will make a new covenant. A new covenant. It won't be the old one. It's going to be a new covenant. All right. And the author of Hebrews is going to quote directly from Jeremiah 31. Hebrews 8:7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Okay, again, if you have the perfect cell phone, then you don't need number 8, 9, 9 plus, 9 awesome. Okay. There's no need for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, and here's the direct quote from Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according, everybody say not. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. Not according to the covenant, the old covenant. All right. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Again, quoting from Jeremiah. I will put my laws in their mind and I will write them on their hearts. In the old covenant, where were the laws? They were on tablets. They were in the Ark of the Covenant. They were on scrolls. Okay. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. And that, he says, and now here's the author of Hebrews coming back into to talk here. He says, in that, he says, a new covenant he has made the first one obsolete. Obsolete. Now, especially charismatic Christians, I don't know what part of obsolete they don't understand. I don't understand. It's in the Bible. There is a new covenant. Well, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. No. He didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And he fulfilled it. And then he made it, obsolete. Not the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Covenant. The Old Covenant. We have a new covenant. And man, I tell you, if you don't have anything to do this afternoon, just read the book of Hebrews, about from chapter 8 to 10. It's a new and living way. Oh, there's not continual sacrifices every year. There's one sacrifice of sin forever. And when Jesus was done with his work, he sat down. Hallelujah, at the right hand of the Father. All right, so we have a new, better covenant. And growing old, the old is ready to vanish away. I love the Message Bible. It says, he's put it on the shelf. And there it gathers dust. Okay, so please, Miracle Life folks, tell your relatives, tell your friends. Don't get the old covenant and blow the dust off of it. Amen. How do we pray in the new covenant? We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Well, I pray to the God of my Father. My father, Papa, my father, my mother, my... No. That's not New Testament prayer. Huh? Well, Pastor, I like to put on the prayer shawl because I got it from Israel. It's awesome. It's really anointed. What do you mean it's anointed? Those people in Israel aren't praying to the Father through Jesus. Huh? I went there. We went to a synagogue. They're just going, woo, woo, doing their thing, right? Yeah. We walk by the Western Wall. We walk by the wall closest to the Holy of Holies. Everybody's got their little prayer requests, putting them in a little hole in the wall. Pastor, what prayer request did you put in? Zero! I don't need to put them on a wall. I just bow my knee to the Father of glory. And I say, in the name of Jesus. And there I am, face to face with the Father of glory. And he hears me. And he hears me. Not because I go to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. We were at, I can't remember where we were. There was a gift shop and there was a set of stuff, and it was, and it's all, again, obviously it's all from Israel. There's water from the Jordan River. Ooh. And there's oil from Israel. There's even dirt from Galilee where Jesus has stepped. There's a little kit of this stuff. I thought, my goodness, if I had $1,000, I could triple my money back in Zambia. I could just buy all these. Yeah. There's a new covenant. There's a new covenant. It's not established on the old covenant. It's established on the blood of the covenant. Our blood is the blood of Jesus. Our book of the covenant is in the New Testament. It's in the New Testament. So the Gospels speak of it and the epistles explain it. The epistles explain it. All right. And it's so much more simple than 613 laws that you've got to care, that you've got to figure out. Amen? I'm so happy. I love it in the New Covenant. Acts chapter 10, kill and eat. Go ahead and put the bacon on the cheeseburger. Go ahead and grill up the prawns. Hallelujah, because it's all been cleansed. That's a better covenant. If that was the only thing that was better in the better covenant, that's arguably one of the best things in the New Covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. New and better covenant. All right. So Jesus talked about this. Mark chapter 14. And he said to them, this is at the Passover meal that's now becoming communion. All right. The Lord's table. Mark 4:14-24. And he said to them, this is the my blood of the new covenant, new covenant, new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God. So there is a blood of the new covenant. Hebrews 13:20. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of what? The eternal covenant. All right. There is a new blood in the new covenant. Equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Oh, I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus that equips us. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus that helps us to do his will? All right. Working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Tell your neighbor, God's at work in you. All right. Another, oh, such a wonderful blessing of the new covenant is the Holy Spirit comes to live and abide and make his home in us. He doesn't live in a temple. He doesn't live in a tabernacle. He lives in our bodies through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So the new covenant is based on the blood. Just like, remember Moses, he threw some blood on the altar, threw some blood on them. There was blood everywhere in the old covenant. All right, but that was the old blood. Old blood. Old book of covenant. We've got new blood and new way that God is relating to man. Hallelujah. So basically kind of here is the gist of when you begin to look at Romans and you begin to look at Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians and all these one and Hebrews and all these wonderful epistles that explain what Jesus did. All right, so the Gospels, you have to have the Gospels, because that's Jesus. That's what he did. That's what he said. But the Gospels without the epistles are incomplete. They're just incomplete. All right, I get annoyed at people that say, you know, well, oh, Jesus didn't say that. Well, no, whether Jesus said it or Paul said it or Peter said it, it's all God-breathed. All right, it doesn't matter who said it. Amen? The words of Jesus are not more holy than the God-breathed words of Paul. Amen? All right. So, but the new covenant, so the old covenant, Galatians, it does a great, great job of kind of explaining this. Old covenant, obey the law, you're in covenant. New covenant is a covenant of grace, God's ability, God's working through Jesus. All right, so the cross is the clearest picture of his grace. So while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's grace. All right. So there's the grace given by God, and it is received or accepted by faith, by human faith. All right. So faith. Our faith is not, it doesn't merit us anything. It's not like we're keeping the 613 commandments, but it is simply what God has given through grace, it is received through faith. All right. Now, it's go much longer than that, but that is the new covenant according to the New Testament. All right. That God has done something for mankind through Jesus Christ. He's he's obtained eternal redemption. Well, that's awesome. Now what? Believe the gospel. Receive what God has done for you by faith. By faith. All right. Let's just read a portion of scripture that really just gives us a really good picture of what we're talking about here. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Because it gives us the background of the work of Jesus and why he came. Ephesians 2:1. Once you were dead. That's an interesting way to start a chapter. Once you were dead. Why? Because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very own nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Okay, so to be apart from Jesus, to be in sin, we were sinners by nature and we were sinners by action. All right, so we lived in a way because of who we are. We confirmed our sin nature. Okay, but here is the gospel. Here is the new covenant coming in. Verse 4, but God. All right, so what were we doing? Dead, dumb, passionate, subject to God's anger. But God. Does it say but you? No. But God. But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. For it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Okay, so is it by Torah keeping? Is it by abstaining from bacon? Is it from wearing pure clothes? And you don't mix your clothes? Is it all that stuff? Is it from bringing the offerings and the sacrifices and all this stuff? Is that how we have a relationship with God? No. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him. Friend, that did not happen in the old covenant. We are seated with him because of what he did. All right? We're seated with him in the heavenly places. So God can point to us in future ages as examples of the credible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. Verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. God saved you by his grace when? When you believed, when you trusted, when you heard the gospel, when you responded, all right? And so this kind of language, this isn't in the old covenant. You got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and don't forget to do this, and da 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 da. Oh, it's tiring. All right? So we are saved by grace through faith. Verse 9, you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Oh, we live in a world that likes to reward awesome people. Huh? How many people, sometimes you hear this, they're in a bad relationship and they say, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be treated this way. Actually, you do. Deserve. See, deserve in the New Covenant is a really bad word. You want to talk about what you deserve? What you deserve? For your righteousness is like a filthy rag. The wages of sin is death. You want to go talk about deserving? All right, let's go talk about deserving. Well, here's what you deserve. You deserve to live a short, miserable life, for people to hate you, and to die an early death and go to hell.
What I deserve.
No, that's what you deserve. Let's not even talk about what we deserve. Let's just go ahead and talk about what we get through grace. What we get through grace. What we get through grace. Amen. Amen. Every day I wake up and my wife is still there. That's grace. That's grace.
Well, she should start with,
no, it's grace. It's the grace of God. 28 years? Yeah, it's the grace of God she's lasted that long. It's the grace of God. If she wasn't saved, she wouldn't be with me. Hallelujah. The grace of God. The grace of God. And we trust Him. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. None of us can boast about it. Everybody say, no boasting.
No boasting.
No boasting. New covenant, there's no boasting. No boasting. Let him that boast, boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. This is what God has done for me. Hallelujah.
Well, but Pastor, you have to understand, I worked hard. I got a degree, and I got another degree, and I'll tell you what, I've done some.
Whoa, time out. Whose air did you breathe? God's. Who provided for you? God. Why did you have a parent or an uncle or somebody to help you? God, 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 God. It's all because of God. Amen. Not a reward. Oh, and I love this last part of this section. Verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. Masterpiece. What an incredible word that is. And He's created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can go to Siavonga, sit on the beach, and drink orange Fanta till Jesus comes back. No. That's not the plan. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things. The good things. See, in the old covenant, just read it. They weren't doing a lot of good things. It was really tough to get past their sinfulness. See, now He gives us a new nature. He gives us His righteousness. He puts the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He puts His law and His Spirit on the inside of us. And now we actually can do good things. Good things that He planned for us long ago. All right. So, blood of the covenant, book of the covenant. Blood of the covenant, book of the covenant. All right, so that means in the covenant, so I go and I understand, so through Jesus Christ, because of what He has done, well, so I'm saved, but that's a big word, sozo, includes a whole lot. Well, how do I, you got to read the book. You got to see what's in there. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. That's part of the covenant. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. You don't even get trouble for asking. And He gives you more than you need. That's in the covenant. All the wonderful promises of God. So Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid this incredible sacrifice. So we come to God. Salvation and everything else that accompanies salvation. All right. Romans 8 says, how will He not with Him freely give us all things? All right. So here's the cool thing is when He freely gives us, then we don't have sticky fingers. Right? We're not greedy. We're not miserly because we just realize, oh, it came from God anyway. Oh, God, you want me to give my car away? No problem. No worries. No problem. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Lord, you want me to sign up Pastor William? You want me to sponsor all of his next year's crusades? No problem. I'll do it. Huh? Oh, I can't. Now, if you don't have the money, I understand that. But if you have the money and that made you nervous, where is boasting? Where is boasting? Tell your neighbor, no boasting. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blood of the covenant, book of the covenant. Blood of the covenant, book of the covenant. So, my admonition to you for the rest of your life. And while, man, do not ignore Genesis to Malachi. Don't in any way. All right. But be especially conversant with the Gospels and with the epistles. Why? Because that's your covenant. That's the agreement that God made with you through Jesus Christ, through his death and burial and resurrection. Amen? And I'll just be honest, at church, we just can't get to everything in 52 weeks of sermons, small groups, school for life. We do a lot of great stuff of word here. But man, you got to get it for yourself. Hallelujah. Understand him. Walk in the covenant that God has for you. And where do we find that? We find it here. Okay, so again, if you're not fully aware of that covenant, then that's when we start doing silly things. And it's not just that they're silly, they're ineffective. All right, they're a waste of time. The Bible calls them shadow boxing. Okay, nothing's getting punched. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and you shed your blood, and it speaks of better things than Abel's. Speaks of our righteousness. It speaks of our forgiveness. It speaks for us. And Father, thank you that we have a book of the covenant. And Lord, there's so many incredibly wonderful things that we can understand about you from the old covenant and how you dealt with Israel. Lord, we see that, man, a whole bunch of that came over into our covenant too. Lord, your ways to treat each other in righteousness and justice and mercy, and man, we're so grateful. But Father, I pray for every single person here, Lord. May we become, as Paul said to the church at Corinth, may we become able ministers of the new covenant. The book that you gave us. The terms, the consequences, the warnings, everything that's there. So, so helpful for us, God. We love you today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here in this place, and you say, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. You can. What we read there in Ephesians chapter 2, those first three verses is where every single person starts in life. Dead. Separated from God. Subject to God's wrath and his punishment because of our sin. But God. God sent his own son. Jesus paid the price, and he paid it in full. Hebrews says that he tasted death for every man. Separation from God, judgment from God. He tasted that. And here's the thing, because he tasted it, you don't ever have to know what's in that cup. He can taste it on your behalf. But, like we saw in the Bible, that's received by faith. By faith. Your faith. Man, when I was a younger person, I was really confused. I had really no idea how to have a relationship with God. I thought probably religion, churchy stuff, that probably gets you into heaven. That has you a relationship with God. The Bible makes it clear it doesn't. It's faith in what Jesus did for you. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not a child of God. I need to be born again. Today is your day. We're going to pray. God's going to come into your life. The Bible says old things will become new. Perhaps you're here and you say, Pastor, I am a backslidden Christian. I'm like the prodigal son, prodigal daughter. And there was a time in my life where I had a relationship with God. I was living for him, but things are really messed up. Maybe you feel like you've sinned away the forgiveness of God. Well, there's a way back. There's a way back to come to your Father through Jesus. He'll cleanse. He'll wash. He'll help you. He'll restore you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to be born again. Or I'm a backslidden Christian. I need to come home. Let's pray together today. Let's pray. I believe right now, as you're hearing these words, you're hearing the Bible, I believe the Holy Spirit's working in your heart. He's telling you, this is you. Come on, let's do this. He's convincing you. All right? So we're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. All right? On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. And when we do, then we're going to pray this prayer together. Right? Nobody looking around. This is just between us and the Lord. Ready? Pastor, I need to be born again. I need to come home on the count of three. One, two, three. Just lift up your hand all over here. God bless you, sir. Awesome. Thank you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Who else? All the way in the back. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Who else? The blood of Jesus will wash you and cleanse you. The blood of the new covenant. Anyone else before we pray? Thank you, Lord, for you are good. Well, let's all stand to our feet as we prepare to go. Ask, let's stay in this place. I know there's a queue in the parking lot, but salvation is more important than the queue. If you lifted up your hand, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to follow him with all my life, with all my heart. Just come and meet me up front. Grab your handbag, whatever you came to church with. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming over here. This one, all the way over here. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for your decision. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, this is a notebook. If I was gonna give this to you as a gift, you just reach out, right? Wouldn't you? So, what we're going to receive today from the Lord is this grace, what we saw in the Bible, this grace that's free and rich and wonderful. And so I'd ask you, as we get ready to pray, just let's lift up one of our hands as a sign to say, God, I'm receiving from you. And let's say this prayer together. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. He was punished for my sin. You raised him from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my whole life. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Jesus. I'm now in your family. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 What an awesome, awesome day.